Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, Blog Talk Radio. It's good to have you with us today. And now, let's get over here and get YouTube started. And, now you're started, YouTube. Welcome, YouTube. It's good to have you here with us. And as you cannot see, now you can, I'm home.
Hallelujah.
I'm home.
Love it when that happens.
I love it when that happens. Yes, I do. And so hopefully you do. We're going to say welcome back to all of our friends who are out there. Everybody that's subscribe to us. You know, we told you a week ago we were going to be gone for a week so that we could do the Revelation series. And I'm going to tell you right now, it was better this year than it's been any other year. And amazing. So welcome to everybody. Let me get you a welcome in here. Welcome back, believers. There we go. Got a comment in there. Let's go to the channel. Let's go to live. There we go. Now we can see comments mostly. Now that we're finished with the book of Revelation, if you have questions, it's still appropriate to put them in here. Now, I would encourage you, if you really enjoyed this session, to get with us, because we have the ability to have you get connected to some of the videos that we just watched. Not publicly, you have to do it in our private training center. But here's the reality. You can restudy it. Brother Copeland had Dr. Sutton on his program talking about end times things. And so you can search that up. I would encourage you, search up Hilton Sutton online on YouTube. You never know what you're going to find. And
Dr. Barclay's too, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been at Dr. Barclay's too, but I don't think that I've never seen any of those online.
I guess.
But here's the point I'm making. You never know who might just say, hey, he was at our church, and pop it up there, and then you get to see one of his messages live. Because I'm going to tell you something. Live is a whole different dynamic than sitting there teaching line upon line, precept upon precept. And you can see another whole side of Dr. Hilton Sutton come out. And I encourage you to do that. I really do. I encourage you to go on there and just go to YouTube and just, and you know, I don't ever do it anymore because anyways, but you could also go to Facebook, and you could probably go to Instagram and put his name in and see what comes up. I've just never done that. And I just stick with YouTube because it's the easiest for me to move around. Hey, Scott. Hi, Braden. Good to have you guys with us tonight.
Love you guys.
It was a beautiful day in North Dakota. You really missed it. Sorry, I'm getting up here.
Yeah.
Anyways, so tonight, what I want to do tonight is I want to go through the curriculum book, pull out some highlights that I want to highlight from Dr. Hilton Sutton's teaching. I was thinking about it. I knew I was going to be home. I was thinking about it like, you know, I'm just going to do that. I'm just going to go on there and
sounds good.
You know, just see what I get, come up with. But so that's what our night's going to be tonight. And you know, if you got questions, you know, now that we've been through all 12 sessions, you're like, you know, and you might feel like, wait, Dr. Sutton really covered that. Well, does it matter if he really covered it? If you still have a question, let's work the Word of God in to all those spots of your life. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of the Lord. When we come together like this, this is the greatest time to ask a question. I heard somebody make a statement today. To ask a question for the purpose of growth, the question will always be filled with faith. To ask a question to cover an offense or a hurt feeling or to shame someone will always be filled with fear and doubt and questioning and will never produce victory because it's a scorner. It's
yeah,
a mocker.
Yeah.
And the proverb says, when you cast out the scorner, strife will cease. And it's probably one of the biggest problems in the body of Christ is that most pastors will not cast a scorner out. But the Bible says to,
mm-hmm.
when you cast out the scorner, strife will cease. And so we don't want to cast anybody out. Let me just make my statement very clear. We don't want to cast anybody out. But the number one characteristic of any successful Christian is a teachable spirit. A teachable spirit, especially in the body of Christ. If you don't have a teachable spirit, it's best to keep your mouth shut. Because then nobody will know. Did I make that too plain?
Well, that's one of wisdom's principles, too. Just keep your mouth shut.
Book of Proverbs says it's better to be silent and thought a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubt. Now, I can't give you the exact chapter and verse on that, but it is in there.
Several times,
Sister Leanne said. And she knows exactly where they all are. I don't know whether it's for personal reference or for personal use, but anyway. That was a joke. Anybody listening, that was a joke, and we're cool over it. So that's what we're going to do tonight, and if you have a question while we're doing it, just type it in the comments there. And as always, we're going to keep our mics and videos muted so they don't interrupt the process that's going on. And but there's a chat in Zoom, and there's a chat over here on YouTube, so do that. Those of you that joined with us on Blog Talk Radio, we wish there was a way we could see you. But you can always send me an email at HG for Holy Ghost Preacher Man, HGPreacherMan@gmail.com. Make friends with me on Facebook. And send me messengers somehow and get in contact with us, and we will answer your questions also. And if you're anywhere where you can dial the number, the host call-in number is 563-999-3487. You know, after the Super Bowl, when the Chiefs won the third time in a row, and the stadium address was 3333, and the quarterback threw 333 yards for the victory. One of my boxes today was number 9333. So it's like, wow, God's saying something is done. And I think that's awesome. Something is done. Now, let me get that done. There we go. All right. That's done. That's there. So, you know, what time is it? Oh, it's a quarter till. Let's get right into the lesson here. I was going to do a big, long confession, but we're not going to do that. tonight. We will pray our opening prayer, and then there you go. We'll pray our opening prayer, and then we'll get started here. There we go. Sister Leanne has added a screen on hers, which is the pledge to the Word of God. I do not have that one, but it'll be all right. No, it's all right. Here we go. Are you ready? We'll say our pledges. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag. And to the Savior, for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again, with life and liberty to all who believe. And now the pledge to the American flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now, our opening prayer. Pray this from your depths of your heart. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration boldly through the blood of Jesus as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
And amen. And now the commanded blessing. I want you to think about that. This is a commanded blessing that God gives when we stand together in unity. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for us brethren to dwell together in unity. It is the precious anointing oil running down on the edge of Aaron's garments, like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there, and dwelling together in unity, the Lord commands the blessing on our life forevermore. And now, I think this is some of my favorite verses. That's why I keep reading them. We have the keys of the kingdom. Think about it. Satan doesn't even have keys to his own domain. Jesus took him away. Jesus, we proclaim, you are the Christ. Jesus says, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. As Jesus instructs, we agree together for the victory. Assuredly, I say to
you,
whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. All believers are one and the same in God our Father. There is one body and one spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism,
one God and Father
of all, who is above all, and through all, and in us all.
But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift.
Thank you, Father, for your grace and your gift in my life. I really like how that says it. Thank you, Father, for your grace. He's putting grace on the gift he put inside of us. I mean, you can't lose. You know, you just can't lose with our Father. I just love it. And now, see, how do you leave any of this out? You know?
You don't.
You just don't. All right, Ephesians 4, the fivefold ministry and the body of Christ. Jesus himself is the one who gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. God bless the fivefold ministry with boldness for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. Think about that. We not only get to have God in us, we get to be filled with all the fullness of God.
Amen.
I don't know. Some of you ain't got the revelation yet, but I sure hope to get it real soon. So that we will no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Father, expose
the wicked plotting of wicked spiritual leaders.
But speaking the truth in love, we all grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, and knit together by what every joint supplies,
according
to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body, edifying of itself in love.
I bring
my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to others. Now let's talk about this for a minute. Because I wrote that in there, Father, expose the wicked plotting of wicked spiritual leaders. But really what I want to pray is, Father, expose the devil where spiritual leaders are concerned. And we declare no more of them go astray. And we bind you, devil, because we get to. Because our Father told us to bind you. And therefore we bind you. Here we go. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word. The blood of every martyr, every fallen soldier, every victim of terrorism, every child that's been aborted cries out today, Father, bring heaven's justice against these workers of iniquity who pervert justice and have no regard for life. We ask you for your mercy. We repent of the sins of the nations of the world. We seek your face. We turn from our wicked ways. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation, and we declare, God bless America. We thank you, Father, for your many abundant blessings in and on this nation. Now watch this. Right now, all across America, East Coast has already been running their patriotic events, whatever they're doing, for an hour. So they're starting to wind down a little. Here in North Dakota, actually, they've been going for an hour. The East Coast, they're winding down. And we say, in Jesus' name, amen. And then Mountain Time is just starting. And Pacific is just getting ready to get ready. So, Father, right now, we join the voices of every great prayer warrior, every patriot warrior, every passionate patriot of this great nation. And we declare, God bless America. May they start with the pledge. May they start with prayer and end with prayer. And may they talk about righteousness exalts this nation. And may every born-again, spirit-filled believer that is looking for office get put in this time. May they be so filled with the power and the anointing of Almighty God on their life that their enemies run in fear of them.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. We declare right now that every one of these judges that are ruling against President Trump running, ruling against the Constitution, ruling against everything America stands for, silence their mouth, remove them from their position, because they're violating their oath they took to protect and defend our Constitution. And in the mighty name of Jesus, we call this done again in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Now, the Patriot Prayer of Dedication. Father, help us the living to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might. Great God, our King,
forgive us of our sins, Lord,
and heal our land. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. I agree, Sister Sunday. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, let's go and we'll start our journey tonight through the book of Revelation. This is the Pastor Sam recap of the recap. I don't know. I just soon have brand new treads on my semi as recaps. But now, I got my syllabus out here, and I'm just going to open it up and talk about some things in here. Just as a way to remind us of what Dr. Sutton taught us. Now, I'm going to show you some things, because I really want you to buy one of these books, even though we're already done, we're finished. Go right on his site and do it. But like, look at this one. Now, I can't get close enough, but that's a timeline, chronological outline of the book of Revelation. It's right in the beginning of the page of the curriculum. So what is it, Pastor? Well, it just gives you a timeline of where the books fit in and the events fit into the books and where the books are and the events are. And it just gives you, and it's right in the beginning. So it just gives you this quick overview, and at any point while you're studying Revelation or just reading through it, you can pull this out and you'll begin to, it'll begin to make sense to you. That's what we want it to do. We want it to begin to make sense. We heard Dr. Hilton Sutton say it enough times. It is not a confusation. The Father didn't title the book wrong. He gave it the proper title. There's some preachers that preach this in such a way that you would think, man, Father messed up. He didn't even title it right. Well, who in the world do you think you are telling Father he titled his book wrong? Now, let's grab a couple verses. We've been in these verses for the last week, but I'm going to grab them again. And that is... 2 Peter 1, 2 Peter 1, 19, 2 Peter 1, 19, somebody shout, I love the word.
I love the word.
I love the word. I love the word. Type it right in there if you want to. Here we go. 2 Peter 1, 19, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. The word. I love it. Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You guys have been hearing me over and over and over make the statement that says Paul, the apostle, by the Holy Spirit, makes this statement here. Why? Because we really got to just give these men the credit they are. And what credit is that? They're excellent scribes. Because otherwise, you make this the wisdom of a man. Well, there ain't nothing in the epistles that's the wisdom of a man.
Right. Amen.
That's all the leadership of the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit indwelling the Apostle Paul's life. And then him giving himself to the word. Now, let's go to 2 Timothy 3, 14. Let's do 3, 13 through 17. Evil men and imposters.
What did you say?
2 Timothy 3, 13 through 17. Thank you for slowing me down. Here, hold on. I got to slow down, so I'll take a drink. The nasty plunge. Don't worry about it.
That was a good commercial.
2 Timothy 3:13. Evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, being deceived. No, deceiving and being deceived. Evil men and imposters. Who are these people? They're people that have given themselves over to the, surrendered to the, for to allow the enemy to use them. Which is stupid because he's already crushed and don't even have keys to his own house. But people do it. 14. You must continue in the things which you have learned, been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise. There are a lot of people that have read the Bible, but they don't have, they've not read it and become wise. They've just read it. It's like, well, I did my chapter. Isn't God proud of me now? No, you're supposed to read it and become wise. It's supposed to change you and get down inside and make a difference. Which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned it, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The whole 22 chapters of the book of Revelation are inspired by God. Not some of it, not all the parts except the plagues. That can't be inspired by God. It's not only inspired by God, it's carried out by God. All right? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. I like that. That when you study, you become complete. You know, people are like, well, who you think you're just perfect? No, I'm complete. And yes, I do think I'm perfect because Jesus said, be therefore perfect just like your Father in heaven is perfect, so I'm perfect like that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says, be followers, be imitators of God as well-beloved children imitate their Father. Right out of this book. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped. I don't know where equipping comes from, but it's probably good for you. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. All right. Now, go with me to Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation 1. And we're going to go back and read Revelation 1:1-8. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants. God gave Jesus this revelation to show to his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. God the Father gave it to Jesus. Jesus sent it by an angel, by the Holy Spirit, to John. And John put it on a piece of paper to us. Aren't you glad? Well, I am, whether you are or not.
I am.
Holy about me. Now, verse 3, look what it says. Blessed is he who reads. So there's a blessing on you if you read this book. And blessed is he who hears the word, who hear the words of the prophecy. So if I'm reading it to you, I'm blessed. If you're listening, you're blessed. Right? And blessed is he who keeps the things which are written in it. So that's a threefold blessing, right? One. Yeah, three. Verse four. Don't let my numbers get you mixed up. Three blessings, verse four. John to the seven churches, and three and four make seven. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. which are in Asia. Grace to you and peace. Aren't you glad he didn't say loathing and sorrow and sadness come upon you? Oh, wait, what was it Hee-Haw used to say? Gloom, despair, and agony on me.
And Hee-Haw,
sign of the cross. Yeah. Like they used to sing that song, you took a fine time to leave me, loose wheel. Yeah. You know how many times I had a wheel come off because I used to sing that song? All right, back to verse 4 quickly. Grace to you and peace from him who is now, who was then, who is to come future, from the seven spirits which are before his throne. That's not, you can find that in Isaiah 11. Verse 5, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. So he was the first to be raised from the dead. And the ruler over the kings of the earth. Well, who's the kings? To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. 6. And has made us kings. Say it with me. I'm one of them us kings.
I'm one of those us
you,
kings.
You am. You are, you was. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Verse 6. And has made us kings and priests. To his God and Father, to him be glory, dominion forever and forever, forever and feathers, all right? Well, Pastor, when do I get to be made a king? When you were born again? Yeah, but I was only 9. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Now you got to be trained. How old was that one child when they became king? 7? 8?
8.
Yeah. 7. I'm in verse 7. Behold, he's coming.
Oh,
hut, hut, blue, 42, go on. 7. Behold, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning. I am the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Amen.
Amen.
Say this with me. Almighty.
Almighty.
Just be in my life.
Be in every part of my life.
Not his come. Be in. Now, so here we go. let's try it again. I got my curriculum open for the book of Revelation. I want you to buy one. All right.
A little flat,
I'm okay. I just haven't had any sleep in a couple hours. That's all.
36 of them.
Something like that. But we'll be all right. Now, I'm in the introduction. So now I'm just going to go through this. I'm not going to do the whole revelation. I just want to hit some highlights again now that we heard the highlights at the beginning. We heard the book. Now let's go back to it so we can nail something, all right?
All right.
I'm just going to read this introduction. For years, it seemed no one was able to unlock Revelation, a supposed book of dark sayings and mystic happenings. The scripture, inspired by our Heavenly Father, is given for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good works. We just read that. I'm going to just read this whole thing. So I'm quoting. No scripture is to be carnally discerned or privately interpreted. Today we depend upon the same Holy Spirit who inspired the scriptures to give us understanding. God wants us to understand the revelation he himself chose, that which is revealed or made clearly visible. It's been made clearly visible. Even if it's confusing, it's still made clear. The title of the book, no matter how much confusion you have, the title of the book still says you don't have to be confused. It is a revelation. Amen. God wants us to understand the revelation. He himself chose the title, which means that which is revealed and made clearly visible. God gave us this book to complete the New Testament picture of Jesus, which aids us in our Christian experience. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 speak directly to Christian daily living. As you examine the revelation, study this manual, the Revelation teaching syllabus, along with it, examine the scripture references, then read the corresponding explanation in the syllabus. Prepare yourself to receive the blessing promised to those who heed the words of Revelation. Blessed is he who reads, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now get this. I love this. Jesus is referred to 55 times in the 22 chapters.
Wow.
People wouldn't believe that, but go look. Angels are referred to 55 times. It's just in the end, I even like 55.
Me too. And 555.
The Holy Spirit is referred to 14 times. A person's works are pointed out 10 different times. There are 9 proofs of pre-tribulation rapture within the Revelation. It is clear this is the book Jesus and the Father wanted taught in every church. Isn't that an interesting statement? Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, along with chapter 22 and verse 16 established as true. Satan's opposition is confusion and lies. Our adversary, the devil, has opposed this book more than all the other 65 books of the Bible. He has sown massive amounts of confusion concerning the revelation within the church. Since God is not the author of confusion, 1 Corinthians 14:33, all the confusion within the church community has come from Satan. Isn't that something? Where is confusion coming from? Not the spirit of revelation. Sometimes you have to just let it settle in for a minute. Often misinformed ministers have aided Satan by spreading his confusion. A major lie exists within the church community, and it is this. The book of Revelation is a hard book to understand. When you just listen to Dr. Hilton Sutton like we just did, there was nothing about this book that was difficult to understand, was it? It isn't provided you know the other books of the Bible and rely on the Holy Spirit. Now, he made this statement. God did not conclude the book, the Bible, with a horror story. People who say that. Just let it sink in. Many believers will lose confidence when the pastor says, I don't understand the book of Revelation. And they think, well, if the pastor don't understand it, how in the world am I going to understand? Because you have the same Holy Spirit living on the inside of you that wrote the book. It's all right. I don't mind you forcing me into the word. I'll go right to the word and sling verses all night. You want to sling verse? No, it's not Isaiah. 1 John 2, isn't even close. Look at this. Come on, pay attention. Don't worry about me. Just whatever you do, just love me and pray for God's mercy on me, okay? Look at this. Where did I tell you to go? 1 John 2:20, 24, and 27. 20, 24, and 27. It's a really good football play. Apostle John goes over the middle. Peter runs way out to the side. And the Apostle Paul runs it right up the gut. It's a good one. Yeah. You have an anointing from the Holy One. And you know all things. Pastor, I don't know all things. Let's see. I'll be like Brother Jesse. Let God be true and every man a liar. I choose God. For you know all things. Keep reading. Where'd I go? Therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. Matches our one with him verses. 27. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. Jesus is the manifest presence of God. He's abiding in us. That didn't come out right. Abiding? We don't have no Bidens in us.
We do not have any Bidens in us.
We are abiding in the vine.
Amen.
You have an anointing from the Holy One. You need not that anyone teach you, but the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Well, think about it. You can sit down and read this book, and it really helps you to have this manual.
It
really does. Then you can be like, wait a minute, what is this? Who's doing what here? And then just go to that timeline and you'll be able to see exactly who's doing what. And it gives you an overview. That's the power of it. You know, like I said to you earlier, I've been through this book with Dr. Sutton 13 times. You know, many people say, well, man, you ought to be teaching it every day. Well, no, I just have a good working knowledge of it now. You know, but our dear friend there, what's the guy's name that came and taught us the one time? It's with Dr. Sutton. Dwayne.
Dwayne, yeah.
Dwayne came to us. He traveled with Dr. Sutton day after day after day after day after day. And when he sat down to put together this, it took a lot of work for him. Because there's a lot to this. Anyways. Now, check it out. Here's the chapter subjects of Revelation. This is in your book. Chapter 1, the cover letter. Chapter 2, the letters to the churches. Chapter 3, the letters to the churches. Chapter 4, John gets caught up. Chapter 5, the book with the seven seals. Chapter 6, the opening of the seven seals, beginning of the earthly events. And chapter 7, the 144,000 and their converts and God's intervention. Chapter 8, the sounding of the trumpets. chapter 9, the plague of locusts. Ooh, you don't want that. You don't want to be here for that, man. That locust thing, that's messed up. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be there for any of it. Seven thunders, John's future. Chapter 11, the two witnesses. Seventh angelic trumpet. Chapter 12, the sun-clothed woman, the man-child, and the hidden remnant. Chapter 13, seven-headed beast, the system, Antichrist, and the false prophet. 14, 144,000 caught up, angelic ministry, and the preview of Armageddon. Chapter 15, introduction to Revelation 16. 16, the last seven plagues and earthly events. 17 is the fall of the great harlot. 18, the harlot's obituary.
It is.
Chapter 19, Christ returns, Armageddon, and the triumph. See, even Jesus rides a good motorcycle. Chapter 20, Satan bound, the thousand-year reign, the white throne judgment, and the millennium. 21, the new heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem. And 22, New Jerusalem, the conclusion of John's cover letter. Now, I'm not sure where it is.
Yeah, even without the videos, this book is an amazing study guide of Revelation.
Yeah.
As the verses, the descriptions, the everything.
Now, I'm on page 10 now, if you have one that looks like this. What's yours look like, Dan? Is this the one yet?
Yeah.
Is it? All right. So here's the keys to study the keys to study Revelation. Number one, it's the revelation of Jesus. We should ever be learning from Jesus.
Did somebody order?
I don't know. Number two, it's revealed to Jesus' servant. Number three, the divisions of the chapters telling two amazing stories, heaven and earth. Number four, the informational chapters, that's 7, 10 through 15, 17, 18, 21, 22. Don't worry about copying all this down. It's going to show you past, present, and future events. Five main keys to unlocking the meaning of Revelation. Number one, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when you study it, talk to him the whole time you're studying it, because since it's his book and the revelation of Jesus, and he lives in you, he's going to be able to help you understand it. Pastor, it's so confusing. It's so scary. It's not scary when you read it right. There's nothing scary about it. I mean, if you keep sinning and miss the rapture, that'll be really scary. But if you take this book and you listen and grow, there's nothing scary about this book. Do you notice that this time there's just that much more lack of fear as we went through it? If you get to the first couple chapters, chapter 5 there, you're just like, what am I worried about? I say it every year. What am I worried about? God's got this in his hand. And you and I are doing our best on this earth. All over the face of the whole earth, people are walking with God. We're in good shape. Five keys, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Number two, the believer's biblical right to understand the book of Revelation. That's why God gave it to John, sent it to the churches, so that it could be read in all the churches and everybody come to that understanding. Remember what it says in Thessalonians? Comfort one another with these words. That doesn't mean, oh, poor baby, cry on my shoulder. No, that means bring grace, bring strength, bring sustenance to them. That's what that word comfort means. Number three, parallel accounts, John in the heavenly scene and John in the earthly realm. Number four, the informational chapters. The primary function of these chapters is to provide flashbacks, previews, other details relating to the stories of heaven and earth. Although these chapters are in chronological order, they often reflect the events of the past and look forward to the future. They provide details of events and personalities occurring in the unfolding story. And then number five, there's a description of past, present, and future events. And all we've got to do is get that understanding down in our heart. Think about this. You will learn truth you've never known. Think about it. Every time we come here, we learn more truth.
Mm-hmm.
You will see a prophetic story with the chronological order. And there it is. You will put together bits of knowledge already in your possession. You will never be the same. You will help, and then you will help others to understand this majestic book, which is really what I want to do, is I really want to see you discipling other people with the series. I really do. Here's a couple of my thoughts. Some of you will read it and you're like, Pastor, I'm not getting the same thing you are. No, probably not. But I've had like a really pretty serious amount of Bible college level training on many parts of the Bible. So naturally, I'm going to see some more things than you are. But remember this, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord, and you can just read it. I would recommend you read it right out loud. Slow down, read it out loud. As you're reading it out loud, every now and then just stop and say, you said, blessed is he who reads. I receive the blessing in my life right now. All right? You don't have to have the validation of the important scripture, universal principle. Okay. Here's several things that this is stuff I wrote in.
Okay.
He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When you study this, seek him. He will reward you. Well, Pastor, don't you know? I don't do nothing for a reward. I'm just so happy to serve Jesus. I don't even want no reward, Jesus. And he's up in heaven saying, I told you I'm giving you a reward. No, Jesus. I like Brother Jesse. I said, no, Jesus, you can't do that. You know, yes, Jesus can do that, and he's done it. And if you're going to mock his reward he's bringing you, man, I wouldn't do that if I was you. Not at all. As long as this earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. Till the very end, people are going to be building, planning, growing, developing, building houses, cities. They're going to keep going. There is no more powerful force on the face of the earth than the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing more powerful than those two things. Study, study, study to show yourself approved to God. Remember what the Bible said. Who can ascend to the hill of the Lord? He that has pure hands and a clean heart. We must become more intelligent, more anointed, more holy than the last generation. We have the Bible and their word that they have learned from these very pages. We must be as wise as what they are. This is a revelation, not a confusation. It's not a book of hidden meanings. Dr. Sutton has been anointed by God to teach this message. We're the ones that reap the blessing. We will see God's angelic intervention to earthlings on a daily basis. Now, go with me now to the back of the book. Almost. How many times do I got to turn that page? There it is. I'm now going to page number 102 in my book, which is the unknowns of the book of Revelation. Now, I really appreciate Dr. Sutton, because as he would go through it, he'd say, now this is one of the unknowns. And then if you had the curriculum, you would have been able to see that he gave you the reference point, the chapter and verse, whatever. He gave it to you so you can go study it. So I'm going to read these. There's 8 unknowns of the book of Revelation. Wait, I'm going to read what he wrote. The unknowns are not explained anywhere within the scripture. Therefore, understanding is withheld until our knowledge is complete. When we see Jesus, we'll be like him, as stated in 1 John 3:2. Then we shall have total knowledge. Number one, the significance of the four creatures and their strange appearance. The four living creatures. Number two, the personal identity of the white horse rider. Who was it? Number three, the reason for the half hour of silence in heaven. That's just before all the women get there. Because the men's like, all right, everybody chill. What it is God gives us men this little kind of this corner over here in heaven, and we get to go over there, and then all the women's conversation stays over here. I don't know. I love to hear Leanne speak, so I don't have a problem with it, but I understand what they're saying. Number four, the nature and purpose of the seven thunders. It's one of the unknowns. Number five, John's future ministry, Revelation 10. Number six, the personal identity of the two witnesses. We don't know that. Number seven, the area covered by the wilderness where the Israeli remnant is hidden, and the origin of the eagle's wings. And number eight, the exact effect of the loaves of the tree of life. They're going to give us branches, and then there's loaves. I mean, it's really good. Now, our next thing in the back is the elects of God. Jesus is an elect. The angels are an elect. Israel's an elect. And the church is an elect. And then he's got verses for each of those that you could go study. Now, on page 103, he comes up with another timeline here. You can see it right there. The seven-year tribulation period, Daniel's 70th week, that's Daniel 9, 24 through 27, and you can see the rapture of the church. Then you can see the tribulation, 3.5 years and 3.5 years, and then the thousand-year reign of Christ is after that, all right? And so the seven-year tribulation period, Daniel's 70th week, you can see all of that stuff in there. And it's very well documented with verses of scripture to go along with it. Then on page 104, nature's upheaval during the tribulation. At the beginning, at the tribulation beginning, occurs during the World War III, which follows the rapture of the church. The earthquake, Ezekiel 18, 19, and 20, thunder, lightning at mid-tribulation is when the Antichrist, the conference of the 144,000 go up. Number three, on tribulation's final day, opening of the sixth seal, reserved until this time, Revelation 6, 12 through 17, at resurrection of the two witnesses at time of Armageddon, pouring out of the seventh vial. That's all nature's upheaval. 10 revelation proofs of the catching away of the church prior to the tribulation. And then it just lists a whole bunch of verses that gives you the ability to study it. Now, three phases of activity. Number one, seals. The white horse rider, the red horse rider, the black horse rider, the pale horse rider. And and news trucks everywhere. Yeah, don't worry about that. Number five, martyred tribulation saints. Number six, the most severe upheaval of nature on the tribulation's final day. Prepares the way for the sounding of the seven trumpets. And so that was seals. You got the white horse rider, red horse, pale horse. And then let's go down to the trumpets. Hail, fire, blood. Number two, oceans became one third the blood. And number three, domestic water becomes one third poison. Darkness of one third of the sun's moons and the stars light. That's pretty serious. I remember my parents talking at somebody's house. They went over to their house on a Sunday night, would have been somewhere in the late 60s. And I remember that they had something really vile on TV. And they didn't change it. Their conscience was not pricked at all.
Really?
And when we said something, they were a little shocked that we said it, but I'm like, whatever, I'm not, you know. It wasn't like it was pornography, but the idea was, this shouldn't be there. And you most certainly shouldn't be putting a stamp of approval on, you know, just.
Especially if it's kids.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So where did we leave off here? All right. Nature's upheaval. That's where we left off. So the 10 revelation proofs of the catching away of the church prior to the tribulation. And there it is. Revelation 3:10. Don't try to copy them all down. It's in here. I can just make a copy and send. Revelation 4:1-2. First Thessalonians, Luke, Revelation 4, Revelation 4:6, and 15:2. Like I said, don't worry about all this. If you don't have this in front of you, it's not going to make sense. The prayers of the saints and the intercession of Jesus. Revelation 17, called, chosen, and faithful. Revelation 19, the great multitude in heaven. Armies follow Jesus back to earth, and the church is not mentioned after Revelation 5 until Revelation 19. Interesting. Here's three phases of activity. You got seals, trumpets, and vials. Now, the seals were on the horses, and then there was a tribulation period, and then the trumpets, that was, here we go, hail, fire, blood, the trump train, I mean, no, some of you missed that.
The trump train?
Yeah. Oceans became one-third blood, wow. Domestic water becomes one-third poison. Darkness of one-third of the sun's moon and starlights and locusts, the moment of vast imminent oriental army, and then the last angelic trumpet. It's one of Donald Trump's little kids. Is it trumpet?
A trumpet.
T-R-U-M-P-L-E-T-T-E, trumplet. Well, you know, you got seals, trumpets, and vials. Vials, man, boils. Ocean becomes totally blood. Domestic water becomes blood. The heat of the sun increased. Now you not only got blood, but now you got the sun baking it. That's going to be bad real quick.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
All right. And then you got the symbols used in the book of Revelation. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I'm just going to read it. The lampstand, the stars, the appearance of Jesus, the two-edged sword, crystal sea, the mountain of fire, mountain of fire. The lampstand and the olive trees, the woman of Revelation 12, the wilderness, the water, the beast, the sickle, the winepress, and the great harlot. Oh, Babylon falls, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God, the bottomless pit, thrones represent those saints who return to the earth to reign. Gog and Magog represents the identity of those who chose to follow Satan after his release from the bottomless pit. Not to be confused with the Gog and Magog of Ezekiel 38 and 39, verse 8. Number 20, the bride. Number 21, the dogs. Number 22.
Page, are you on?
I'm on page 107. These are the symbols in the book of Revelation. So what I'm really endeavoring to do tonight is just to seriously whet your appetite to get in here and study. If you buy one of these right off the internet, it's probably going to cost you $35, right?
Mm-hmm.
$35. But I'm telling you, it's one of the best $35 you'll ever spend.
Sunday, are you still here? Did you wind up ordering one or not yet? You guys are just having too much fun on YouTube. Well, you can't have too much
no.
fun, but they're just having a great time over
That's
there.
Good. Now, think about this. God is so serious about blessing you and I that he wrote all of the end time events right in a book. That is like, you don't even have to wonder what's going on. It's right here. I wrote it all right here. Now, at first readings of it, listen, if nobody in your life had ever taught you that the book of Revelation was confusing, you wouldn't call it that. You didn't get that from yourself. You got that from somebody else. So, you know, I'm going to go to my fasting thing that's going on right now. If you knew how to fast and pray and you were doing this and you were on a daily, you would enter in so fast to the things of God on this. Why? Because you're looking for God. You're doing something extra for God. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 58 says, those who fast, their revelation will come forth speedily like the broad daylight. If you weren't here this morning to hear Brother Lou Engel tell about the miracles he sees, my goodness sakes alive, that man sees the miracle. And it's a good thing. Now, 10 minutes. Did anybody write any questions in, or are they all making good jokes?
They're all just making good jokes.
That's good.
It is.
You know, it's Saturday Night Live. You might as well have fun.
Rebecca's amused with the trumpet thing. And yes, Pastor does preach in his sleep often.
I don't preach in my sleep, do I? Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
I seriously pray. Oh,
yeah.
Let's say.
They determined that you do though.
I don't even talk in my sleep. If I'm talking and it's in bed, I'm awake. And wondering who it was that woke me up. Anyways. All the questions we got throughout the week, did we get good answers for?
Yeah. I believe
so. All right. All right. Well, then before we go, I'm going to do one more thing. I'm going to reread the verses about the Lamb's wife.
Can you give us an example of what a fast would be? Audrey is asking that right now.
I'm going to tell you something right now, Audrey. One of the greatest fasts I've ever found, and I've been fasting now since I was like 14. One of the greatest fasts we just found. And we literally fast every day.
We just started this, though.
You shorten the window that you eat in. Shorten it down to 6 hours. Eat whatever you want. However much of it you want. Just shorten that window. And then we spend the rest of the 24 hours fasting. And revelation is just flowing like crazy.
Yeah.
Understanding of things in the life, our lives, understanding. It's just amazing what's going on with this. And it's one of the healthiest things you can do for your body.
Yes.
And I would encourage every one of you. Now, you know, you might be like, well, you know, what are you watching, Pastor? What are you on the internet watching? Well, I've done a lot of study on this because it really made sense to me. God designed these bodies to be full of health and to heal themselves. Scratch your arm, your hair, you know, your elbow or something. And unless it's in that one week in August where things don't heal right, we call them dog days or whatever it is, where it takes a little bit longer for your skin to heal, your skin is going to heal that scratch in a matter of a short period of time. You never have?
No.
You live too far above the Mason-Dixon line. It's the same time when the snake's molt, or whatever you call it, skin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same period of time. Anyways, the important thing is the body's designed to heal itself. And we've been doing this for what? A month now? 3 weeks?
Boy, I don't remember even.
Anyways. Maybe
we're learning to live a fasted life.
We're learning to live a fasted life.
Healthier for your body.
But here's the revelation of it. I'm just driving along last night, and all of a sudden, my mind is just clear. It's like, wow, I didn't even know my mind wasn't clear. But something happened. What is it? My body, because I'm giving it a rest from all the food. Now the body has the ability to do what it needs to do. Now listen, the one lady,
doctor,
the one doctor lady, injured her Achilles tendon.
Mm-hmm.
And what was it, like on day 5 or the 5th fast or something?
Yes,
she did?
It was sometime between day 4 and day 5 of a water fast that healed.
The body healed that Achilles tendon.
And she was a doctor. She had injured it like 6 years beforehand,
right.
Had done everything that they knew to do in that field, and nothing healed it.
Yeah.
Until she started fasting, and by the 5th day, it was healed. And she never had another issue with it.
This heals Alzheimer's?
Mm-hmm.
This heals...
anything your body is...
I got this like skin tag right here. On my arm. It's almost completely gone.
Yeah.
Why? This body's designed to be healthy if you'll give it the opportunity to be healthy.
Yeah.
Most of the people who are part of this, they no longer have any medications they take. It heals your joints. It heals all organs. You just get healed. Besides the fact that we believe in healing, your body's going to bring you healing.
The way God designed it.
The way he designed it. And so... I encourage you to fast like this. This is what it looks like. You ready? Of course, fast through the night. Because you got, you know, 6 or 7 hours of free fasting there because you're sleeping. And then our fast that we do is usually about 20 hours. And we don't eat after dark.
Yeah,
we did.
Only eat during the day
we ate just a little bit after dark, like 20 minutes after dark today. But we won't eat again till tomorrow, you know, probably afternoon. Now, why am I saying this to you? Because if you can just study the science, I want you to study the science of this. Because these doctors are not afraid to tell you the science. These doctors are so excited that they no longer have to put people on medication. They're not even getting paid for this unless you buy their book. They no longer have to put you on medication that doesn't
work. And these are the doctors that don't want you to. to be on medication.
They don't want you to be on medication. So here's what it looks like. You know, today I ate boiled eggs and chips and salsa and cheese and a piece of pizza, two pieces of pizza. And I had a steak and I had a pork something and some beets and some turkey dressing. What else did I have?
A punchki.
I've had a punchki, whatever they are for Fat Tuesday. And all the black coffee I want. And we're drinking carbonated mineral water. And
but the biggest thing is if you start out with giving yourself 8 hours during the daylight hours to eat and then fast the rest of the time, just have water or you can have coffee in the morning and then start shortening that window down. The longer you go in a fasted state, the more healing you get in your body. Once you hit 17 hours of fasting, that's when autophagy, that's the healing stages start, where your body will actually start repairing its own cells and getting rid of the ones that are no good anymore.
And people say,
including cancer.
And people say, well, why isn't my body healing this right now? Because we keep putting food in and it's so busy trying to find a place for all the food and pack it and store it that it doesn't have the ability to make you healthy. But what's the point of this? We've gone off of our revelation.
Yeah, that's good, Audrey. She was just saying Dr. Living Good says fasting is good. And yes, it is.
Oh. And you could eat M&Ms.
I think I want to look in your fridge. You can. You're welcome to.
We'll take the phone and you can go look right inside the fridge. Mm-hmm. But here's the revelation of it. All of a sudden, I found a fast that everybody can do. And it's still a fast. You eat what you want to eat, but you're still fasting. And you get it down to where you're actually eating like 6 hours and fasting 18 hours of a day. 16 and 8 is 24.
Say we're actually down to kind of eating between a 4 hour.
Yeah, we're right. 20. We're down to about 4 hours and fasting 20. Your clothes begin to fit you differently. You begin to lose weight. It's not a weight that you'll ever put back on if you realize it doesn't matter what you eat. So let's say you got a bunch of friends come over and you eat two or three meals. Maybe you go a little long. Well, then just fast it. Just go the whole next 24 hours. And your body will so take care of all of that.
Yes.
Your mental fog will go away. Next thing you know, you won't need any of the medications. People get free from phantom pain, from fibromyalgia. All of that stuff is dealt with by the body. It brings you healthy. Now, what's that got to do with Revelation, Pastor? Well, when you fast, Revelation comes.
Yeah.
If you'll pray during the fasting period and you'll seek his face, Isaiah 58 says, your health will come upon you speedily. The sun, your path will be illuminated and this book will come alive in your life. And you'll no longer look at that last book with anything except excitement every time you read it. Now, you're not going to read the seven plagues being poured out on people and their skin falling off of them. You're not going to keep reading those verses over and over. But you're going to realize we are in the greatest triumph that there's ever been down through the ages. And you and I have a place for such a time as this. And we just encourage. And we're actually going to do some videos when we're both wide awake and can talk intelligently. That's going to be about this fasting so that we can help people learn how to be healthy. There's no reason not to be healthy. This body was designed by God to renew all of its cells every 13 hours or something. 22 hours.
What?
Your body's designed to renew most of its cells and every 30.
It begins at 17 hours.
17 hours. And it'll renew itself if we can get all of the organs functioning like they're supposed to. And number one, you and I will pray in Jesus' name that they do. And number two, stop putting the force feed on and let the body take care of itself. And it's a good thing. And all of a sudden, you begin to see yourself staying away from it. It's unhealthy. Now, I didn't say that because she put in M&Ms. If you're interested, we'll send you some of these videos. They're very, very excellent. Simple videos, simple to understand. You don't have to have a high-level education. And I'd love to see you try it because, you know what I believe? I believe many of these things that's happening in your body, Audrey, will just clear up.
Yeah. And, you know, that's another thing that they say, breakfast time, you should not eat for 2 hours after you're awake. Because when you're sleeping, your body's busy, you know, healing and doing whatever. That's another thing, too, is making sure you get enough sleep because that's when your body does its best
right.
healing. After you get up in the morning, your glucose will automatically rise because it realizes you're awake and it's going to start trying to meet your energy needs. And if you eat food on top of that glucose that your body's naturally going to produce, it'll have to store some of that.
Yep.
So they say for the first couple of hours, let your body just burn that off naturally before you start eating too. So,
and a good way to burn it off naturally is a cup of black coffee.
Yeah, yeah. You still have
or a cup of Earl Grey tea.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I just encourage anybody listening to this video, you know, watch our Facebook pages and you're going to see these videos show up because I want people to see this. There's no reason. This is the coolest thing. You're going to get to a point where you never even have to go back to a doctor.
Yeah, amen.
I'm not going to a doctor, and I don't even know when, except I had to get a physical for driving truck. But
I know it's probably been 30 years since I've been to a doctor.
Now, here we go. Let's get back to the book of Revelation. I said all that about fasting, not to get into this fasting, but to help you realize that you don't have to do a 40-day no food fast to call it a fast.
Right.
And you don't have to freak out about being unhealthy if you fast like this. Just shorten the food window. I've already lost 10 pounds. I didn't check today, probably 15 pounds though.
Okay, I was at 13.
Already lost it. And then you're not even struggling. I mean, did it sound like I was eating diet food today? I ate pizza and cheese. And
Now, typically, we do try to eat a little healthier. But
I do try.
Sometimes you fall off.
I was just in truck stops that had no good food, but they still had food, so might as well eat and be healthy. But anyways, the idea is, God wants you and I to enter in. Dr. Sutton just took all the fear out of the Bible. Out of the whole Bible. If there's no fear for the book of Revelation, then why would you have fear in any of the rest of the part of the Bible? Because this whole book is designed to give you life.
And
life more abundantly.
And it says that. Life and blessings in reading the book of Revelation.
And life more abundantly in Jesus' mighty name. And so make sure you get these videos from us. And I'm actually putting together a whole situation where I'm going to do several short videos so people can watch them and add some links and stuff in the notes so that people have the links to go to. Because if you study the science, listen to this. If you study the science in the video with the doctor and then go read the comments where people talk about their own testimony, you'll be so inspired because there's somebody in there who's just like you, and they got free. And they're telling their story. And now you and I are not only fasting for health, but we're fasting to see spiritual growth.
Yes.
And now not only will your body be healthy, but you'll be strong in faith. So when I return, will there be faith on this earth? And you and I are going to say, well, when you return, there's going to be faith there because I'm going to be here and I'm going to be filled with faith. And Jesus mighty name. All right. Anything else about Revelation you see anywhere? Well, let me just do this real quick. Anything else you want to say on this? Let me check my Gmail here. See if somebody sent in an email. Doesn't look like there's any emails today. I just like to check because if you have sent something, I want to do my best to get it answered as quickly as possible. There's a good email from Pizza Pie on the Fly. Hallelujah.
Oh,
yum.
We need to go there tomorrow.
All right, here we go. Let's pray. Father, thank you. How did we get off on that, Lord? Except you wanted us to. We submit our heart, our mind, and our understanding to you, Jesus. Have your way in our lives, Lord. We choose to triumph. We choose to triumph in these last days. And we know that you always cause us. You always give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You always give us the victory. And so not only did we get victory by listening to Dr. Sutton teach about Revelation and all the joy and the freedom of it, but thank you, Father, that we get the victory in our daily life in every area. As you said to Solomon, look at the birds of the air. Look at the flowers of the field. In all of their beauty, we are so much more to you, and we can give you honor and we give you glory. Bless every one of these here tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Love, I think I'm going to have you do the communion. Just take your time, but I keep losing my place. Okay, I'm not going to say that. I would just appreciate it if you pull that back up and put it up there. And thank you guys for being here, for being a part. And now, I want to encourage you to do this fasting with us, because it's always fun to do fasting when you got somebody else to do it with. Well, it's not always fun, but it makes fasting go easier when you can be encouraged by somebody that's in the same battle that you're in. And so I just encourage you. I mean, like serious encouragement. I want to encourage you to get serious about this and just say, wait a minute, I'm going to take my health back and I'm going to give my body the opportunity to heal itself. And, you know, Sister Leanne and I saw it 2 years ago when we did the 40-day fast, but that's a pretty serious commitment. It's worth it. The revelation is really powerful, so it's worth it. However, not everybody would ever even attempt that. But everybody can do this fast,
yeah,
right here.
Yeah.
And you won't be sick in your body.
And it's a lifestyle change.
Even if you take insulin, keep checking your blood sugar because you may not even need to take it. Right?
Yep.
If your blood sugar is normal, do you have to take it? No. And so, in Jesus' name, I speak life to you. Life.
Okay. Are we ready for communion?
If you're ready, I'm ready. But I take plenty of time to get there because I know you had it all set up and then I sounded like I was going to do it. But every time I start trying to read all those words on the screen.
Your eyes are crossing?
Well, not crossing, but it's like blink, blink, blink.
Right, here we go.
Here we go.
Read the communion verses and put them up here on the screen so we can all read them together. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're starting at verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." In 1 John 4:17-18, this is the Lord's perfect love. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love.
Amen.
And now let's go to our communion. Prayers. We'll pray over the bread and receive it, and then we'll pray over the juice and receive it. But first, let's pray over our elements. Hold up your communion elements.
If we didn't pray the prayer of salvation.
Huh? Say.
We didn't pray the prayer of salvation, did we?
Oh, I didn't. I was thinking it was just us again tonight. If I apologize, if there is anyone with us that has not yet received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is your opportunity to do that very thing. And there's no reason to wait, and there's every reason to make that decision tonight and pray this prayer. I'm going to put the prayer up on the screen so you can actually see the words, and we'll pray it together. And within, by the end of this prayer, you will have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you are heaven bound then.
Amen.
And you're able to receive communion with us, and your life will change in every good way. So we encourage you to do this. You don't have to have all great wisdom and knowledge of what all of this means. If you have any questions, please get a hold of us. Our contact information is in the notes in the end of our YouTube programs. And you can also go to our website, which is samueljcottle.com. That's the Community of Faith website, and our contact information is there and our program schedule. I'm not sure if it's current there, but there is current program schedules in the YouTube. Anyways, get a hold of us. We'll be glad to help bring any understanding that you need, answer
Amen.
Any questions that you have, and help you know how to walk out your new life as a Christian.
Amen.
And it's a wonderful life. You will not regret it, and it will take you to heaven.
Amen.
This is the decision that will change your life and your whole eternity. So here we go. I'm going to share the screen, and we'll pray the prayer of salvation together. Pray this from the very depths of your heart. Here we go. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me, so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and that you died for me and rose again on the third day. Now reach out your hands to Jesus and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life and make you my Lord and Savior. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire so that I live in power, understand the Word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen.
Amen.
So if you just made amen. That decision for the first time, welcome to the family of God. We're so happy to have you with us. Please get a hold of us. Let us know you've made that decision. Have communion with us tonight.
Yes.
With the Lord.
Yes.
This is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And if you don't even know what communion is, please get a hold of us. We'll help you know what it is. Many people don't. Many people that have been in church for many years don't realize exactly what communion is. So any questions that you have, please don't hesitate to ask. And join us here whenever you can. Like I said, our schedule is in the YouTube notes. And this is a wonderful, wonderful family of believers that we call the Community of Faith that will help you know how to walk with God every day. They're a great support system for each other, and we'd love to have you be part of us. And we're just so happy to have you in the body of Christ with us now, too. So.
And be a part of tonight. Get you some bread and water and cracker or something.
Yeah, and get your great juice or water and bread or cracker to receive communion with us. And there was something else really important I was going to say here. Holy Spirit, bring it back to me. So, all right, so I'm going to do the, we're going to do the communion prayer together too. I'll put the words up like I just did. First, we'll pray over the bread and then receive it, and then we'll pray over the juice and receive that together too. So hold up your communion elements. Father, we thank you for this time together, and we bless and sanctify these elements for this time of communion with you, Lord. Amen. And as you can hear, our old cat is praying right along with us here. Pray, Roman, pray. All right, stop the video, and here we go. I'm sharing our communion prayer, as you know, as we know, our communion prayer is also called New Covenant worship. The communion represents the new covenant that Jesus made with us. And that's what we're remembering as we do this together. So here we go. This is the prayer. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread representing your broken body and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. And here is the prayer. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord. And by your stripes, I am healed in my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, in my will, and in my emotions. There is nothing missing and nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint is supplying in my body, from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ, in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me or this prayer. I receive. Receive the bread, your body broken now, in Jesus' name, amen. And now let's receive the bread together.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Lord, for everything you suffered to save
thank
and
you,
redeem
Lord.
Us, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you.
And now hold up your juice, and we'll pray over it. Now I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your blood shed to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged. My robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish when you come for me. I receive the fruit of the vine now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. And let's receive the juice together. We thank you, Lord, for your cleansing, healing, life-giving blood. In Jesus' mighty
name. Let's sing this song. What? Can wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can make me whole again. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow.
No
other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Well, there you go. Our closing verse for tonight is, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon you. And if you're God's friend, you can say to him, you know, since I'm your friend, and you give to your beloved in their sleep, I need a dream to understand where I'm at that you're trying to tell me. And according to Job 33, he's going to do that for you. And restore the years that the locusts have eaten in your life, in Jesus' mighty name. Well, I want to stay on here and go long, but in the mighty name of Jesus, we'll see you in the morning right here for prayer at 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central, right?
Yep.
And until we see you again, this is what we have to say. Anybody else got anything to say?
We love you.
Okay.
And God loves you.
He does
you.
Love us.
And Jesus is Lord.
And Jesus is Lord.
God bless your sleep, everyone. See you
Thank
tomorrow.
You for being our friends and partners. In Jesus' mighty name. All right, Brother Dan, you got anything left you need to say? Just us.
Oh. No. Hi, right. Paul. See you in the morning.
Yep. Bless you. Love you. My goodness, I hit a wall. I like just hit a wall.
It was bound to happen eventually.